Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal, text number 28. Nama Adhyaya Vijaya Jnana Vijnana Murtaye Pranendriya Manobuddhi Vikara Vyaktim Tushe Iyushe Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. Adhyaya. Unto the original living creature. Vijaya. The seed of the cosmic manifestation. Jnana. Of knowledge. Vijnana. And a practical application. Murtaye, unto the deity or form. Prana, of the life air. Indriya, of the senses. Manaha, of the mind. Buddhi, of the intelligence. Vikarai, by transformation. Vyaktim, manifestation. Iyushe, who has obtained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I offer my obeisances to the original personality within this universe, Lord Brahma, who is cognizant and who can apply his mind and realize intelligence in creating this cosmic manifestation. It is because of his activities that everything within the universe is visible. He is therefore the cause of all manifestations. Purport. The Vedanta Sutra begins by declaring that the Absolute Truth is the original source of all creation. Janmadyasya yataha. One may ask whether Lord Brahma is the Supreme Absolute Person. No. The Supreme Absolute Person is Krishna. Brahma receives his mind, intelligence, materials, and everything else from Krishna. And then he becomes the secondary creator, the engineer of this universe. In this regard, we may note that the creation does not take place accidentally. Because of the explosion of a chunk, such nonsensical theories are not accepted by Vedic students. The first created living being is Brahma, who is endowed with perfect knowledge and intelligence by the Lord. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Rida Yad Adi Kavaye. Although Brahma is the first created being, he is not independent, for he receives help from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his heart. There is no one but Brahma at the time of creation, and therefore he receives his intelligence directly from the Lord through the heart. This has been discussed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma is described in this verse as the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and this applies to his position in the material world. There are many, many such controllers, all of whom are created by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This is illustrated by an incident described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Brahma of this particular universe was invited by Krishna to Dwarka, he thought that he was the only Brahma. Therefore, when Krishna inquired from his servant which Brahma was at the door to visit, Lord Brahma was surprised. He replied that, of course, Lord Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras, was waiting at the door. Later, Lord Brahma asked Krishna why he had inquired which Brahma had come. He was then informed that there are millions of other Brahmas. Because there are millions of universes, Krishna then called all the Brahmas, who immediately came to visit him. The Chaturmukha Brahma, the four-headed Brahma of this universe, thought himself a very insignificant creature in the presence of so many Brahmas with so many heads. Thus, although there is a Brahma who is the engineer of each universe, Krishna is the original source of all of them. Namadaya Bijaya Jnana Vijnana Murtaye Prasendriya Manobudhir Vikarar Vyaktim Iyushe. I offer my obeisances unto the original personality within this universe, Lord Brahma, who is cognizant and who can apply his mind and creative intelligence, realize intelligence in creating this cosmic manifestation. It is because of his activities that everything within this universe is visible. He is therefore the cause of all manifestations. In this purport especially, the super soul is glorified as the source of intelligence. And indeed, in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, text number 34, is explained that everyone can realize the super soul's presence by use of our intelligence. In other words, we understand everything according to how much intelligence we have. And that intelligence can also give us realization of Krishna along with ourselves and even the existence of a Supreme Person. That's done by use of our intelligence, guided use of our intelligence. And the procedure is more or less summarized, because it's a long purport, as follows. That everything we see in the material world is a permutation, combination permutation of different material elements. Whether it's the floor or the microphone, there's a combination of gross elements, namely earth means solid element, solid energy, makes sound, and also has heat. It also moves very slowly. It has air. And it's contained within space. And most energies, solid energies, have some kind of smell which distinguishes them from other solid, other elements. So earth is solid energy. Then we have water, which is cohesive energy. Earth by itself will not cohese, but if you add water to flour, you can make a dough out of it. That's one of the ways we can understand that their explanation about the moon planet is completely bogus. Because they say there's no atmosphere on the moon. And if there's no atmosphere, there can't be any water. And if there's no water, then how is it that when the astronauts supposedly put their feet on the moon, they left footprints? Footprints imply there must be water so they can solidify, come together, but there was no water, so there couldn't be any footprints. There's also not supposed to be any air, so one may wonder, how is it when they planted the flag on the moon, the flag began to wave? I don't think that the flag was ecstatic to be on the moon and start to shiver in ecstasy. We finally made it. So excited. So they obviously didn't go to the place they said that they went to. We won't go into that. But then there's fire. Fire is transformational energy. And therefore, with that energy, for instance, we can see. Because actually what we're seeing is not really seeing in the sense, but we're just transforming light. Light is entering into our eyes. And by the power of the transformation, the fire within the eyes is transformed, and in our brain we see something. So we actually see everything upside down, and then it has to be turned right side up in our brain. Unless you're in Australia, where everything's upside down. And then we have air, which moves everything. We can hear after we eat something, then we can hear the different movements from the beginning to the end of the air within our body. So air is what moves everything. Air is what moves even our blinking of our eyes. Everything is moved by air. The planets are moved by air. We swallow because of certain things, an air that helps us to swallow. So all these things, all activity is done by air. So these elements are present, they make up our body, and they also make up the elements outside the body. So there's really no difference between the elements outside our body and what our body is made out of. The difference is that there's a person who's conscious of the body. Now, Prabhupada writes, trust no future, however pleasant, idle talk about combining material elements to become a person just haven't happened in the past, and there's no reason to believe that they're going to happen in the future. It's due to the presence of the soul that these material elements appear to be alive. But actually they're just dead elements being manipulated by the soul through the direction of the super soul. So we come to the point where we can understand these elements are the same as in our bodies, outside of our body, by use of our intelligence. Now we had a group of dogs in class, and we tried to explain it. It's very unlikely they'd follow along the philosophy. They don't have intelligence. But they have intelligence. If we put some prasad somewhere, the dogs have more intelligence than we have how to find it, because they have they're empowered by the super soul through their body. They have more intelligence in that way, due to their acute sense of smell. So every living entity is being provided with intelligence. It's just a question of how much intelligence and what kind of intelligence. An ant is looking for sugar, the dog is looking for some food, and we're also looking for some food, although the use of our intelligence may be different if we're in the human form of life and trying to utilize it to understand ourself and the Supreme Self. Other to find food, to find shelter, to find sex, to be able to defend. The animals in many respects have better intelligence than we do. One-on-one. Of course we can create things that put the balance in our favor for eating, sleeping, mating, defending, seemingly. But at the end of the day we all die anyhow. So that intelligence is like the father supplying instruction to his son, or the teacher instructing the student. The super soul is all-pervading intelligence. Within everyone's body is the supreme instructor for everyone at every moment, giving us all remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. For those who are trying to remember Krishna, Krishna helps them remember Krishna. And for those who are trying to forget Krishna, Krishna helps them forget Krishna. For those who want to believe that there's nothing beyond the material elements, or that Brahman is supreme, Krishna will give them so much knowledge. And he'll help them believe that knowledge, their so-called ignorance, is actual knowledge. So this is all due to the super soul. For those who want to remember Krishna, Krishna helps them remember him, and for those who want to forget him, he helps them forget him. And for those who want to forget something and they're not qualified to forget it, he acts in such a way as that they don't forget it. That's called madness. If you keep on remembering the same thing over and over again and you can't forget it, you go crazy. And for those who are trying to remember something, they can't remember it no matter how much they try, is called foolishness or stupidity or whatever. So Krishna is the one behind the whole thing. You may try to forget something and you can't. You may try to remember something and then you can't remember it, and then all of a sudden you remember it by Krishna's mercy, by Krishna's arrangement. So we've studied that there's matter, there's spirit, and then there's super spirit. There are three categories: matter, spirit, and super spirit. So the living entity's free will, which everyone is concerned about, what is our free will, consists on whether we want to orientate our intelligence, ourselves, our conceptions, toward the ignorant misconception of identifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, or we want to orientate ourselves towards the true conception of identifying ourselves as spirit, and that there's the Supreme Spirit. Now, the Supreme Spirit, he's not simply limited to being the order supplier, giving remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, and supplying all the ingredients to fulfill desires in this material world. But he exists in another world, which is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also in the Bhagavad Gita, and is the supreme abode. And there he's engaged in loving pastimes. Therefore it's said that Bhavanam Janmanam Ante, Gyanamam Prapadyante, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Saramahatma Sudurlabha. After passing through many births and deaths, one whose knowledge of me surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So we should know about Krishna as the super soul, as the cause of everything. Krishna describes himself in Bhagavad Gita in many different places, so we can understand what our relationship is with him and how he's working in this world. Because if we understand Krishna as the controller of this world, then we ourselves will not try to become the controllers. If we understand that Krishna is the enjoyer and the friend, then we'll try to please Krishna and not take the credit of helping others, but understand that we can only become an instrument for Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, for instance, Upadrasta namanta cha bharta bhokta maheshvara paramatmeti chapyuto dehesmin purusha para. Yet there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the super soul. So we might question that if Krishna is controlling everything, then what is it that, why am I given any blame for what's going on? Why do I have to accept karma? Krishna is doing everything, so I'm innocent. I'm just going along. Well, Krishna says, not only he's the upadrasta, the overseer, he sees everything. Anamanta, he's also the permitter. And what is that permission? Nadate kasuchet papam, na papam sukritim vibhu. Agyane navritam jnana, tena muyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers the real knowledge. So Krishna didn't ask us to come here. But when we come here, we get entangled in trying to fulfill different desires. As it says in the purport, desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the soul. So, along with the soul, the subtle body from previous lifetimes enters into the body and is equipped with so many desires. Some of them in their modes of ignorance, some of them in the mode of passion, some of them in goodness, and perhaps the soul has some contact with devotees in the previous lives. Some are transcendental. And the soul gets a body to fulfill those desires. No one takes a body simply to go back to Godhead. Unless Shukadeva Goswami came in his spiritual body, you have to come in a spiritual body to have a body that's meant to go back to Godhead. In any case, there's an opportunity to change our desire in the human form of life by proper association and try to become detached or aloof from other kinds of desires all the way up to the mode of goodness. So that's up to the will of the soul which desire he's going to choose. And of course, if he spends too much time hearing the glories of the material energy in one form or another, naturally he's going to be inclined to experiment with the material nature, see what it would be like, get the experience. And if he hears about the glories of spiritual experience, then he'll become inclined also to try that out, see what that's like. Now, if he's serious and actually takes the process strictly or intelligently, then he should get a higher taste, and that should gradually give him, make him detached from these desires for material experience. And therefore, Krishna notes that this soul doesn't want these desires anymore, and therefore Krishna reveals himself. Instead, he wants to please me, therefore I'll take away his material desires, and I'll inspire him to desire me even more by revealing myself to him. And that way one can make progress if one knows what's desirable and what's not desirable. One chooses the right desires. And when Krishna sees that one is trying to become aloof, one is willingly trying to serve him with more enthusiasm and determination, Krishna becomes very pleased. Simply by our effort, and Krishna reciprocates with our effort, our desire, making a desired effort, so then Krishna helps us. Anumanta Bharata Bhokta Maheshwara, that he's the controller and the enjoyer, and when he is happy, then he makes sure that we know that we cause him happiness, and he reciprocates with us and makes us happy. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinasyavam inashantam yak pashyati na pashyati samam pashyan hi sarvatra samam vastiti ishwaram ehinatyatmanatmanam tatoyati paramgitim. One who sees the super soul accompanying all the souls and all bodies, who knows that neither the soul nor the soul, super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. The one who sees the super soul accompanying all the souls and all bodies does not degrade himself by his mind, and thus he approaches the supreme destination. In other words, our real problem is just very simple. We don't know what to desire, and therefore we're desiring the wrong things. That's called conditioning. But if we know what to desire and we choose the right desires, then Krishna will help us and bring us back to the spiritual world. It's as simple as that. And the best thing to desire is to understand how Krishna is the proprietor, how Krishna is the controller, how Krishna is the real friend, how Krishna is the enjoyer, and therefore try to do something that Krishna wants us to do in order to please him. Then our success in life is assured. But if we don't remember that there's a super soul, we don't find out what the super soul wants us to do through Guru Sadhana and Shastra, and we don't do it to please him, then we're lost in material energy. Although we may fancy ourselves to making some progress in some way, but actually we're just losing ourselves in material consciousness. Luckily we have Sadhana Bhakti to remind us every morning or in the evening that what we're supposed to be doing. But hopefully during the day we can remember that also, so we don't put the iron in the fire and then take it out during the day and then try to put it back in the fire again and wonder why I'm going up and down in consciousness like a yo-yo. Sometimes during the day I'm in Vaikuntha, in the morning, in the evening, and during the day I'm having darshan of Yamaraj, and it doesn't look very pleased with me. So we should understand that we have to take shelter of the super soul. Chaitasya sarva karmani maya sanyasi mataraha puryogam upashritya matshitaksadatam bhava. In all activities depend upon me. Work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Vachita sarva duragani, mat prasada tarishyasi, atachatvama hankaram nashoshiti vinangshasi. If you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness and do not hear from me, then vinankshasi, then you'll be lost. So that's our choice. We're not going to suddenly remember Krishna 24 hours a day, but we have to take to the process by which we increase our remembrance and decrease our forgetfulness. And that we should increase the causes of remembrance and decrease the causes of forgetfulness of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Hvala. Here is Vaprosi or Pitanya? What's that? Prashana. Oh, it's more Sanskrit. Prashna. Varyan eva te prashna.
Hare Krishna. You have illustrated, according to two, how accepting the super soul in Krishna is very reasonable and logical. And then you have described the desires necessary. And indeed, according to the Vedanta Sutra, logic is not enough to establish, to prove the existence of God, because one also needs to be open or amenable to reason. What are the factors that help people? In other words, this logic works for a seeker. So if one is a seeker, if one seeks the higher truth, then the logic may help this person. But if people are not seekers, so how we can help people become seekers of the truth?
No, we don't have to help them. Maya will help them. We leave it up to Maya. She's much more expert than we are. Just like now we have this problem, coronavirus. Now we could never have created such a worldwide opportunity to make people more humble, more inquisitive, more of everything that's necessary to become Krishna conscious. So Maya made the arrangements for us. Now we have to take advantage of it, or else we're also in Maya. And Maya will help us too. Yes.
What about people who are apparently happy and satisfied? How they can be helped to be...
Maya will take care of them too. Anyone who thinks they're happy in the material world is obviously in ignorance. I mean, ignorance, because it's obvious they're going to die soon. And they don't know where they're going. So we don't disturb them, because it's used to, we'll just get disturbed. But Maya will take care of them. The pig thinks he's happy too. Everyone in the material world, Maya, by the Avaratmika Shakti, believe that they're happy. Otherwise they couldn't tolerate their miserable condition. So we don't have to interfere with them, or else they'll think that the only cause of unhappiness is us. And that will not be very helpful for them. So we, therefore, opeksha, we don't deal with such people. Otherwise, we'll get ourselves in trouble and we'll get them in trouble, more in trouble also. So we tadvidi prani patena, people can only be helped when they come humbly and inquisitively. That's the only way we can help them. Otherwise, it's useless. And we leave it up to Maya to take care. She's very expert. She'll instruct them. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the lecture. I have a question regarding to the beginning of the lecture. You were mentioning spirit and supreme spirit.
Super spirit,
yeah. But so I become a little bit confused because I was translating in Slovenian. What is the difference between spirit and soul? Or because if you translate in Slovenian, this spirit is a little bit...
Well, we're the soul. The spirit and soul. The spirit soul.
A spirit soul. So we're spirit soul. So you just make it a little bit.
We're trying to save time. We only get it.
Now I understand. Thank you.
Cut corners. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.